table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply.
One more time.
Oh Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply.
Let us pray. Father, Lord, once again we've come together to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, that we might walk in this revelation, Lord, in this great fellowship of the mystery of God in this last day, Lord. Lord, when the veil has been taken off and your wife is seeing you in all your glory and all your honor, Lord. Lord, may you speak to our hearts tonight once again. May you receive the songs and the words all, Lord, may it all be pleasing to you in every heart that's crying out to you, Father. May you touch each one. Lord, we just commit all to you now, asking for the leading of the Spirit, Lord, that you would speak to us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see each one tonight now as we thank God for each of you. And we know that Emily is home with the children, and we want to remember them. And Sister Juanita is taking a family member over to for a doctor's appointment and in Gastonia. And so that they have some issues. So we'll be remembering her and the family there. And also we want to continue to remember Sister Esther, that the Lord will bless her and the family, and for Sharon, that God will just continue to touch her and deliver her through every trial and trouble, through every situation that she faces. And we know that it's hard. And then, of course, we want to remember Brother Goomba and Brother Joshua Kioko. They'll be traveling together to Uganda. And so we want to remember them. The Lord will continue to bless them and strengthen them. And Brother Vincent sent me from Uganda, sent me a picture of him and Brother Goomba the other day, where Brother Goomba stopped in to see him. And he was a brother that I met on my very first trip. It was my first trip to Africa, and so which was to Uganda. And he was one of the brothers. There was about 38 ministers, I think, somewhere around 40 ministers. And so he was among them. And so he had just recently reached out, and so I sent Brother Goomba the contact, and he was able to stop by there, take some time, stop by, and have some fellowship with him. So we thank God for that. And there's so many people reaching out that are wanting some fellowship, and in the Word, in the Revelation. So we want to remember them, that God, we know that the time is at hand, and even the things that we're looking at here, preaching to souls in hell, that this is a serious time, a serious time. And so I want to pick right up. And I think I just took the main scriptures there that I had on Sunday, and I'm going to skip them, and I'll go right into the message, because I'm not sure, you know, you would think preaching as long as I preach that I'd be able to get this thing down into a thing, but you can't, I can't. And so sometimes I think I have too much, and then sometimes I think I don't have enough. But I'm going to just leave the scripture, and you can read them again later if you like. But you notice on Sunday we read where he talked about the angels, and then he talked about the people. Amen. And so tonight I just put the ones in where he's talking about the people and not the angels. But I'm going to pick up in paragraph 97. This is in the message, Souls That Are in Prison Now. And Brother Random is talking about the vision when he was sitting in J.C. Penney's, when he was sitting in that mall there. And this was in Arizona. I think it was in Tucson, Arizona, where this took place at. And so we know that the first, when he was 18, I mean, when he was 14, and he seen the vision of hell and then of the glory of God, that was in Jeffersonville or somewhere right there around Jeffersonville. So let's start here. I thought then, as I noticed them cankered-looking eyes on them women, there were the Spanish, the French, Indian, and white all together. But that great big head, you know, bushed up with the combs, the way they comb it back, you know, way big, and then comes out, you know, you know how they fix it, see? And they like to, then them cankered looking eyes and the eyes with the paint, and they run it back like a cat's eyes, and them talking, and there was... And there I was again, standing in J.C. Penney's store, back in hell again. So what he's saying is that when he was 14 years old and he went into hell and he's seen those people in hell and he's seen the way the women were. And I want you to think now, this, it means something. It means something to know that the way those women were dressed, the way those women... you remember when he seen the preview of the bride? There, he seen the way they were dressed. He was telling us the way their dresses were and the way their body was showing and the way they were twisting themselves and those things. And so he said one was marching off to hell and the other one was marching up into the skies. And so he talked about how holy the one was and how filthy the other one was. And then that's the same thing he's thinking here now. He's bringing it into... to the makeup and the hair and to the things that the world does today in the perversion and it's inspired by Satan. you know it right here. This is the proof of it right here. He said, I got so scared. No, let me back up. And he said, there I was again, standing there in J.C. Penney's store, back in hell again. Back in hell again. See? And I got so scared, I thought, Lord, surely I haven't died. And you've let me come to this place after all. See? And there they were, see, just around like that, like in that, like in the vision, see? You could just barely hear it with your ears, you know? Just the mumble and the going on of the people. And then women coming up. Remember, he was talking about that, and he could just hear them moaning. And groaning and the noises that they were making there. See, just a mumble of the people. And then women coming up the escalator and walking around there. And that, the noises they were making there was them green, funny-looking eyes and mournful. And while I was under that, I thought this. While he was under that. Now, this is not at 14 now. This is now late in his ministry. This is in 1963. These things are taking place. He said, what day are we living in? And that was a question he gave. That was a question that he gave us when he started this message. He said, I'm telling you now, this is scriptural. But when I say I'm venturing without authority, I'm putting the question to you. Is now the time? Not is it scriptural? It's scriptural. Is it going to happen? It's going to happen. I'm asking you, is it the time? Amen. See, the same thing he did in the message, sirs, is this the time? Before the seals was opened up, before the seven angels come, before these things began to manifest. And then this is just right after the seals. This is in November. The seals were in March. So we're like 7 months. Seven months from there. And now he's bringing a message like this. Amen. Right after the seals are opened, right after redemption is revealed. And here he's bringing these things in. This is pretty powerful. Amen. See, could this be the third pull? Could this be the third pull? And we know the third pole is the opening of the word. We know the third pole is revealing the seventh seal, his coming. And he identified in many things, but now he's bringing the third pole into this. Amen. Into this preaching to the eternal lost. He's saying, could this be the third pole? Now I got some notes here. See, in Jesus, we find out Jesus in his ministry, after he had preached to the people. Now we're going to be real scriptural on this now. After Jesus had finished his ministry, and his ministry was rejected by the people. Was it rejected in this day?
Yes, sir.
It's been rejected in every day. In every day, every time God reveals himself to the people, every time God sends a prophet to the world, to a country, to a nation, they reject it. The churches reject it. The people reject it. The leaders reject it. They all reject it. But there's a little elected group, just a little elected group that has the ability, that has that seed of life in them that can receive it. After Jesus had finished his ministry, and his ministry was rejected by the people, now you'll read between the lines. He's telling you, listen what I'm telling you. I want you to pick this up. You draw your own conception. You remember what I told you at the first. Huh? I told you, it's going to be scriptural. You decide whether it's now. That's on you. That's the same thing he said, it serves as a time. He come as a promised one for that day. We all know that. The scriptures identify Jesus Christ as Messiah. Now, I've tried to save some time. I've cut part of that out of there. He's talking about Christ. He's talking about Christ coming in that day. And he's telling them, he was the promised one. And he was what all the prophets had said. He was the one that identified the scripture of that day. He was the one who manifested the scripture of that day. He was the one that was letting the people see God in flesh. And so what they failed in that day was they all knew that it was going to happen. They all knew that the Messiah was coming, that these things would be manifest, but they couldn't believe it was now. They couldn't believe it was right now. That's what's wrong with people today. They can't believe it's right now. And the same thing. They're caught up in their church. They're caught up in their idea. They're caught up in the world. They're caught up in their life, their lifestyle, whatever it is. Whatever Satan can do to pull you and make this less important and something else more important. Whatever he can do, that's what he's doing. And he does it in every age. In every age, he's trying to get the people caught up in other things, that this is no longer first thing in their life. It's second thing, third thing, down the road somewhere. See, he come as the promised one for that day. We all know that. The scriptures identified Jesus Christ. Paragraph 107. Now, after Jesus had clearly came and clearly identified himself, God identified him, vindicated him, proved him that he was the one. See? And he prophesied. And after the days of his prophecy, though scripturally identified, the people rejected him. That's right. That's what they did to God in flesh in this day. And that God in that flesh of William Branham, now that God in that flesh now is in the bride.
Amen.
That's where he's at.
Yes, sir.
And that thing, that's got to be getting more real to us every day. That he is in you and he is manifesting, that you are manifesting God in this last day.
Yes, sir. Amen.
So he's introducing the bride to something right here.
Yes,
he's bringing us back to what Christ told us. He's going to bring the scripture and he's going to place us right there, right there. See, he preached then after they rejected him here, the ones that had a possibility of being saved. See, remember, when he was preaching, there was a possibility of anyone being saved. We know, we don't know who they are. They're predestinated, but he continually preached. So he was walking, preaching, and they would get one here and get one there. But the masses were rejecting. The priest was rejecting. He'd find a little prostitute over here, and she'd say, "You're the Messiah." And the priest would say, "You're the devil." And so it was happening. Day by day by day. But then there was coming a time now, after he paid the price, after Calvary now, then his ministry changed.
Yes, sir.
See? Now, but after the days of his preaching, his ministry continued on. After. Because the last group he preached to was the souls that were in hell. Where were they at? They were in hell already. That's where they were. That could not be forgiven. See? And I have clearly read that from the Bible here, from 2 Peter. See, he went and preached to the souls that were in prison, which is in hell, and locked up until the day of the judgment. Now, he's gonna make sure we got this judgment day. Because you see, the judgment day isn't now. And there's no burning hell now. Somebody tell you that, the guy's in burning hell now, that's wrong, see? The judge of this earth is just enough to never condemn a man until he's brought to trial. And see? And God will never throw a man in the fiery furnace until first he is condemned by God's own laws. But where were those people? They were in hell. Why were they in hell? Because they had rejected the word of their day. And where do they go today? The same. They have rejected the word. And so when a person rejects the word, they've already judged themselves unworthy. Okay? But they're going to still come to this day. They're still going to come to this time. And then it will be the lake of fire. A judge of this earth, let's see, dropping down here now. And God will never throw a man into the fiery furnace until first he's condemned by God's own laws. He rejected mercy. So you see, he first has to have a trial. And the trial is the great white throne judgment. But now, he's in a place called a prison house. That's why he said souls in prison. And so, I'm saying hell now because I'm saying it for a purpose, and you'll see. And he just said hell too, but so it both goes. But I used hell in the title because of something I want to bring to your attention. As I saw the vision of both places by the grace of God, and I say this not to be sacrilegious, and if it's wrong, God forgive me. I believe I've been in both places, see? In both places. And I've seen the redeemed, the blessed, and I've seen the lost, and where they're at. And that's why I stand as your brother today to warn you to flee from that downward path. See? Don't you never go that road. See? You've got everything to live for, that blessed upward way. Where the redeemed are in joy and peace, and they can't sin, see? They can't be sorry. And think about that. There's a place where you're not going to be sorry no more. There's no sorry. There's no apologies. There's no getting upset. There's no being riled. There's no disappointments. There's no hurt. There's no shame. There's no nothing. Amen. It's just a place of peace and joy. Amen. And it's in the presence of God. See, there's nothing there. See, they're perfect. I've seen both places. I know that's an awful statement for a person to make. But God being my judge, I solemnly believe I've seen both places. I believe that. Amen. See, and that is for us. Yes. It's for us. Because that's part of the unveiling of God. That's part of what God has given us to know and understand. What God had in his mind before the foundation of the world. That's part of it. This is all part of it. To that he's gone to both places and come back to tell us what it was all about. And to tell us what it was about with Christ. See, oh, far be it from any person ever entering the regions of the lost. If you were standing with hot wires bored through you, tormented in every way, it'd be not like that devil torment there is in that place. You imagine? Hot wires bored through you, all through you. No. The human mind couldn't comprehend what the regions of the lost is. There's no way to explain it. There's no way to explain what the regions of the blessed is. It's so great. One is so great, one is so horrible, one is so bad. And you know, I think many times about the woman one time that Brother Brandon was preaching, and when she was sitting there, and her dress was so short that she was exposing herself, and Brother Branham took his coat, and it might have been the top, might have been the bottom, might have been both, I don't know, I don't remember. But Brother Branham took his coat off and covered her up. And she got so upset that she walked out, And she said, I wouldn't let my cow have this religion. And that woman's husband came after she died and said, or tried to get him there before, but by the time they got there, she was gone. And he said there was steam coming off of her body. Steam. Where she had suffered so bad that the freckles on her face were had protruded out from the skin. They were out like a mole or something like that. Something they was sticking out where she had suffered so bad. And sadly, the man said, just pray for her. Pray for her. Brother Branham said, there's no praying for her. She's gone. She's made her choice. She made her decision. Once you cross over that line, there's no praying. There's no chances. There's no more opportunities. You're going to do it here while this veil of flesh is breathing. And once this veil stops breathing, there's no decision to be made. None. See? So it's from the ridiculous to the sublime. See? So he's telling you. So jump to 114 there. Now Jesus, after he had finished his ministry, and he preached to those souls, see, that were unsavable, that couldn't ever be saved now. The Bible tells us he went and preached to the souls that were in prison that repented not in their day. In their day, they didn't repent. God sent them a prophet. God sent them a messenger. God came himself. In every way, God gave the people what they needed. And so it was up to them. It was up to them to receive it or to reject it. And so we know what it was. And we know that that revelation for that day then became a testimony against them that rejected the manifestation of the Word, the living Word for the day. That's what happened in Noah's day. For 120 years, he was preaching the revealed Word to the people of that day. And then the time came when God closed the door, they're inside, everything's finished. And then that was a testimony to those that had rejected the Word and could never enter in. They could never enter in. And 7 days, 7 days that ark sat there as a testimony against the whole world. Think about that. They could not get in. And nobody could get out. Now, the Bible tells us he went and preached to the souls that were in prison, that repented not. Now Christ has come. Christ has spent his life 33 and a half years on the earth, manifested himself 3 years of this great ministry now, raising the dead, opening the blinded eyes, healing the sick, delivering the people, giving them salvation, letting them recognize the presence of God in every way. What a time! What a time it was to have God himself, the anointed Messiah in their midst. And to fellowship with him and to live with him and to eat with him and walk with him and all the things that they had. And to see these great supernatural miracles. And then to see the rejection of it. And to see the very leaders that knew the Word better than anybody else. Huh? That know the Word better. Who knows the Word better today? The Message people. Who knows God better than the world today? The Message people. Huh? Right. Who is it that's rejecting the Word of God today? The Message people?
Yes, sir.
That's right. It's being presented to them. Right. They're offered this great revelation. And they want to stay back in a denominational idea. And yet claiming to believe the prophet, claiming to believe the Word of God, claiming to believe the message.
Amen.
When I say denominational, I mean that.
Yes, sir.
It only takes one person to have a nominal idea, to have a denomination. It only takes one person.
Amen.
And when you take your idea and you denominate that and you declare that's it.
Right.
And there's plenty of people like that. You'll find some here and there that they've got their idea and they get a group of followers. Okay? But I run across many people, they walk alone. And they don't mind walking alone. They have their own revelation of this message. And you talk to them, they'll tell you boldly exactly what they believe, and this is their idea, and this and this and this. And they don't have any followers, they don't have anything. They're just there. And I admire that to a point. But the point is, you can't tell them.
Right.
You can't tell. So it doesn't matter if they're walking alone or they're walking with 1,000.
Yes, sir.
If they don't have any revelation, they just don't have any revelation.
Amen.
So there's only one place, and that's in Christ.
Yes.
That's the only place.
That's right.
So after he manifested and God vindicated his ministry, and that's what God does in every age. He vindicates that ministry. God proves that this is the one I ordained before the foundation of the world. See? And when mercy was given to them and they spurned mercy, now they're waiting for the judgment. Oh, what a time it must have been. See, oh, I wish there was some way I could shake the world with that to let them see what the reality is. That's right. See? Now listen now, 1:15. Catch this, because he's going to give it to us now. And Jesus said himself, as the Father sent me, so send I you.
Amen.
I'm sending you. He sent me, now I'm sending you. What's he sending you to do?
Right.
What did he say? The works that I do shall you do also.
Amen.
Huh? And what? And as baby Christians, that's healing the sick and raising the dead and praying and doing this and this and this. And then we grow up a little bit and we realize it's preaching the word. It's offering eternal life to those people out there. But he's going to give us another. He's going to give us another place. Now you got to really be grown up to get this now. See? As the Father sent him to preach to the living, to those who had hope, and then present the same message to those who had no hope. Huh? It seems too fitting at this time that will have to be done. How did he start this paragraph? As the Father sent me, so send I you.
Amen.
Huh? Because the Spirit of Christ living in us,
yes,
does not change the nature,
amen,
of him.
Yes,
the nature of God is going to do the same thing in you that it did in him.
Yes,
that's what he's saying. See? It doesn't change God's system. See? No. It's got to be, he must be the same in every generation. So whatever the vessel is he's using, if he's using Noah, if he's using Christ, if he's using William Branham, if he's using the bride today, his nature's the same, his plan's the same, he's doing exactly the same thing.
Amen.
As the Father sent me, so send I you. Amen. The ministries must be the same. See? I see some of you writing down scriptures. John 14:12. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. What works? See? See the works? Preaching to the lost. Now he's not talking about Noah. Now he's not talking about Christ. Now he's talking about the bride.
Amen.
The works that he did, that's what we're going to do. Your life is a testimony. Your words are a testimony. See? He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. See the works? See the works?
Right.
Not just praying for the sick. Just not dedicating the babies and patting everybody on the back and say, God loves you, God loves you. You're a good person. You do good things. Blah, blah, blah. No. Preaching to the lost.
Right.
Preaching to those who refuse the revelation of Jesus Christ in the day and the hour that you're living in.
Yes, sir.
Preaching to the lost, healing the sick, and then to the impossible to ever be saved. See? The work went on just the same.
Yes, sir.
See? That's right. So this has been. Has this been? Oh, there he goes again. Huh? He's going to declare it, and then he's going to say, no, no, no. You decide. Has this been? Is this the time? May I put it like this? See? Has this been? Or this has been? I'm going to say it my way. You say it your way. This has been the ministry of Jesus Christ reincarnated in his church in the last days. Other people can read it the other way. Has this been? They have a question in their mind. I don't have any question. I don't have any question in my mind. This has been,
yes,
Jesus Christ reincarnated in his church in the last days. And what are they doing? They're preaching to the eternal lost.
Right.
That's what many of us believe. I believe it with you. Huh? I believe this. If I didn't believe it, I'd do something else about it, see? Because after all, it's me that's concerned here. See? And if the Spirit of God be in you, you're concerned about the people. That's right. Listen to this now. And he's going to drive this home. We should be concerned. And this is where I always feel my shortcomings, where I feel my slackness, my lacks. But he's going to put it home now. There was a scripture that always puzzled me. See? And you look at Moses. What did he do? He walked right out there when God was going to destroy the people. And he gave himself. He gave himself and said, Lord, take me. Don't do it. Take me. There was a scripture that always puzzled me, how Moses could tell God a better idea than God had. Huh? Moses giving God a better idea? Moses speaking up over what God is saying to him and saying, no, Lord, let's do it this way. Isn't that something? Till I found out that it was the Spirit of Christ in Moses. And where is he now? He's in you. And where is your heart? It should be the same place. That you're willing to give yourself. You're willing to die to yourself. To bring others to this revelation. God said, Moses, separate yourself from them. I'll destroy the whole thing and start with you. Oh my. It's a difference, isn't it? There's a time when we were still in our little carnal thinking. That's just exactly what we think. Yes, Lord, you start with me. I can do this. Yeah, you're going to have a good person now. You take me. I'm going to do good. Yeah, just get rid of them and take me. See, that's not the nature of God. That's not the Spirit of God. No. The nature of God is to save that. Give yourself to save that. That's Christ. That's His nature. That's His character. He said, Lord, He throwed Himself in the breach. He said, take me, blot out my name of these very people that that had rebelled. Huh? The people that were fighting Him, the people that was giving Him trouble, causing Him headaches and heartaches and all kinds of trouble, trying to save them. His heart went for them, see? Dropping down, 122. So has the ministry been. As it was, so is it today. See? It has been preached and thoroughly vindicated by the Word of God that it couldn't be a man. It has to be God. It has to be, see? Notice, the same spiritual signs that Jesus done has reoccurred on the earth in the last days. Brother Brandon said, every ministry, the same thing happens. That the message goes out to the people, and then the elect receive that message, and all the rest reject that, and then it goes to the eternal lost. It goes to those that could never receive it, that can never hear it, never accept it. Notice the same spiritual signs that Jesus done has reoccurred on the earth in the last days. The very same spiritual sign that He identified Himself as Messiah has identified Him today. The same Messiah. The same God in flesh in this day. That's right. He's still Messiah. The same material signs has appeared on the earth that appeared by Him. What He was. Same pillar of fire that St. Paul saw. Same one. All has reoccurred with the same nature in it. Doing the same thing. Amen. Praise be to God. Huh? Not just a light. Not just a pillar of fire. Not just something that can be impersonated. But the same nature. The same nature in that pillar of fire. Amen. Doing the same thing that it did back there. Not what Satan is trying to do. He comes as an angel of light. Sure, he can produce light. He can do all of that. But he can't bring the nature. He can't even understand the humility of this nature. He can't comprehend it. That's why he couldn't believe that Jesus was the Christ. He'd seen the works and he thought, yeah, nobody could do this. This might be him, but no, he couldn't be more born in a stable, and he couldn't let people spit on him, and he couldn't humble himself when they're doing all these things against him. Huh? The humility was too much. Satan can't get it. See, the same nature doing the same thing. That's right. Praise God. Let's go down to 367. Now, if you got any darkness on your life, see, won't you come right here around the altar? Now, he's closing out now, and this is the end of this message, and I'm dropping to the end because there's something that I want to get out of these few paragraphs right here. So he's closing the service now, and there's a great anointing coming upon the people, and people are repenting, and they're crying out, and they're saying, you know, this could be over today. This could be over right now. It could be finished. You know, redemption's been revealed now, and now it's. No, I don't know how much of that they understood, but the prophet was understanding, and the anointing was there, and so the people are crying out. And so I'm skipping through some of it, but there's some points I want to get. Now, if you got any darkness on your life, won't you come right here around the altar now while we continue to sing? Right now, if there's any worry, if there is a spot, don't put it off any longer, see, hoping and trusting that this is not so. Don't let this message go idle in your life thinking, well, we still have time. You don't know if you're going to go home tonight. You don't know. You don't know if you're going to see tomorrow. We don't know. The Word of God has been fulfilled. And only God knows that moment, that hour, it's going to finish. He knows. He has it timed. He has everything perfect. But according to the Word, there's nothing left to do. Nothing. The revelation is in the bride. And the bride is manifesting and ministering and is a testimony to this dying world. The same works that Christ was doing is in the bride right now, doing the same things that did when it was in him. Yes, same thing. Right now. If there's any worry, any spot, don't put it off, see? Hoping and trusting that this is not so, but it will be one of these days. And it might be today. That's right. Now think, how many years have we gone? See? How many years? 369. With the breath of your nostrils right around you, if the tape people could only see what's going on out here now. See? That's us, the tape people. When we're listening to that message, and those people under that anointing crying out to God after hearing this message, huh? After hearing a message like this, just crowding over, see? One another crying, coming from everywhere. Could that vision, see? When I was a little boy, is it the hour? Is this the time when them weary looking gloomy hell being created right here on the earth? Huh? Think about now. That's the point I wanted to make. That's the point I wanted to make right there. Hell being created on the earth. What he seen when he went to hell, what he seen, and the way that the women were dressed, and the way they did their makeup, and the way that they did their hair, and all the things that they were doing was that he saw in hell, now, everything he saw in hell, now it's right on the earth. Yes, sir. It's walking down the street. It's in the stores. It's being manifested right then. Hell being created on the earth. Think about that. Yes, sir. See? Hell being created right here on the earth. Altars and aisles, everything are filled now. You can't get around the altar or the aisle anywhere amongst these hundreds here. See? Just stand up. See? And just say, I want to stand and pray. Just the people might know. Or kneel. Whatever you want to do. See? Now, you can't hardly see anyone sitting down. It's people standing everywhere. See? And may I say this? God forbid. God forbid that what I've said is now. Huh? That he was saying the same thing when he was preaching redemption over. When he was preaching the seals, he was telling you, when he takes the book, And he's going to get it in this message too. We're going to read it. He's not done. But when he takes the book, it's finished.
Right. Huh?
When he takes the book, every name is in the book.
Yes, sir.
Every name is in the book. The elect is in there, and all the rest of them are not in there.
Right.
Those that are eternally separated, those are eternal death, they're not in the book. So he's claiming everything that's in the book and then preaching to those that are not in the book. Those that came and rejected it. Those that heard it and rejected it. Those that seen it with their own eyes.
Yes, sir.
There was a man one time, a crippled. And he came into service. And I think there was actually two of them, if I'm remembering correctly. And had some the old messages, that was one thing I really used to enjoy, Brother Richard. I didn't listen to the old messages so much. I was more in the new messages, but Brother Richard could get those old messages and really study them and tell you things that happened and just great supernatural things that was taking place back there and were just amazing. And he really, in those early days, he spent a lot of time listening to those messages and he'd come to church telling you and he didn't have to write it down. He had it all. He'd hear it and he'd memorize it, and oh man, he just was amazing, just amazing. And so, okay, 372. Now, may I say this? Now, God forbid that what I've said is now. May I understand it? Everybody, God forbid. I got children that's not in it. See, I got two daughters and a son. I've got brothers. I got my people that's not in it. See. God forbid that grace has left us. That's all this will only be pretending. Now, here's the prophet saying that his own children are, he's not saying they're lost. He's saying they're not born again. And he's letting them know they got to be born again.
Yes, sir.
See? And they're not. And so I don't want this to be that nobody can be saved. Because I got children that need to be in. See, I got family, I got brothers, I got sisters, I got people that I want to see come into this. Is there grace left, Lord? Let me be wrong on this, Lord. Let it be wrong at this time that it isn't, that the people can be saved. Grant it, Lord. I pray and commit this audience to you now in the name of Jesus Christ. Now think, and this is something, this is why so many people, message people, could not believe the reality of the opening of the seals because of what Brother Branham was saying. Because he was telling them when he takes the book, it's finished. What they're failing to recognize, is this was done before the foundation of the world. If you are a seed of God, you were in him before the foundation of the world. You were saved before the foundation of the world. If you were not in him, you were eternally separated from him. You were lost, you'll never be saved. See? So the time has come now that this thing has come to a climax, to manifestation. And the last part of every ministry is to preach to those that are not able to believe it, are not able to receive it. Listen, it's to the carnal mind, it's a contradiction. Because he's opening the seals and he's telling you that he's taken the book and that he's redemption's revealed and nobody else can be saved. And saying that the bride has a ministry and she's crying, grace, grace, grace. Because that's what it's always been. It's always been grace. It'll always be grace. And it'll only be for the predestinated seed. And nobody else can get it. And that predestinated seed can never be lost.
Right.
She can't be lost. No. Is there grace left, Lord? See? 378. Lord Jesus, I have done the best that I know how. I've done all that I know how. Grant, Lord, that the mercy doors are still open. Of these hundreds, literally hundreds, seeking thee at this time. Take away every sinful blot, Lord. Take them in today. And I plead with all my heart, as we see not only somebody talking, but the Scripture itself bringing us to this hour. Huh? What's doing it? The Scripture. What done it in services at the time? The Scripture. That's what brought him to the message. What was the seals? Huh? What was the seals? It was the Scripture.
Right.
He was revealing the Scripture. He went right straight to the Bible, Revelation chapter 6 through chapter 8, and he was revealing, breaking those seals, making known. It was God, those seven angels. The Lord told him, said, go west and you'll meet seven angels and they're going to give you the message of the seven seals and you're going to come back and preach it.
Amen.
See, the Scripture itself bringing us to this hour. And that vision of a little boy seeing those people in that condition. And now think now that hell itself, mercy has been blotted from the earth. And now hell itself is here. Huh? Now he's done saying it over and over. He said it every kind of way. And he's telling us what he's seen at 14 years old. Now it's on the earth. Now hell has produced itself on the earth. And the people are just going more and more. And you watch these worldly fashions and this worldly stuff. And it gets on church members. It's always been on the church. So let's just leave them out of it. They're dead and they don't have, there's nothing there. They're dead.
Right.
Look at the message people. Look at the message people and look at the way they're conducting themselves.
Amen.
And look at the fashions. Look at the way they fix their hair. Look at the way they overdo the jewelry. Look at the way they paint their faces. Look at the way their clothes are tight and revealing and every kind of way. Look at the way they present themselves. Where do those things come from? That's not the nature of God. Huh? That's not the nature of God. The nature of God points us back to a woman like Sarah, like Rebecca, like those true, genuine queens of the Bible. Huh? Not this modern nonsense. And seeing it. The problem is they're seeing this hell on earth and they're thinking it's okay.
Yep.
And they go out into these same malls and see the people dressed this way and think, oh, don't that look pretty? Oh, don't that look cute? They see the hairstyle. They see this. They see that.
Right.
And what do? They go and try to impersonate that stuff. They think, oh, well, that looks so pretty. Run from that stuff.
Me.
Run from that.
Yes,
don't get caught up in those spirits. Because that's why you go in these message churches and you look at those girls. You look at some of these young girls.
Right.
And sometimes you won't see it in the church. Sometimes you won't. A lot of times you will. The problem is they manage to get a long dress and look really nice going to church. But then when you see them at the mall, when you see them uptown, now you don't even know they're a Christian anymore. You don't even know. Their hair changes. Their dress changes. Their actions change. Everything changes.
That's right.
Huh? What's doing that? That's not God. God's nature don't change.
Amen.
You don't change when you're at the mall.
Right.
He's the same. Yesterday, today, wherever you go, it's the same nature.
Amen.
See?
Amen.
Listen to this. Seeing those people in that condition now, think that hell itself, mercy has been blotted from the earth. Wow. I'm telling you, the mercy is only one place.
Yes, sir.
And that's in the bride.
Amen.
The bride has that grace. She has it. It's living in her.
Amen.
And the only way anyone can know God today is to receive the revelation of Jesus Christ that's living in veils of flesh.
Amen.
That's where it's at. That's God. That's God. There's only one form of eternal life. Only one form. And that's God himself. And if he's in you, he can only speak one thing. And he's speaking the word, the revelation of himself through you in this last day.
Amen.
That's it. And then outside of that, this message through you is being preached to the eternal lost. Huh?
Amen.
See, and now hell itself is here. And the people, Lord, are in this hideous condition. That's right. Think now. He said it has to be the same ministry that Christ had. And he told us that we got to do the same works that he did. And what did he do? He went to hell. So, if you're going to preach to the eternal lost, and you're going to preach to those that are in hell, you're not going to do, you're going to do it right here. Because he done told you, hell has produced itself. As he went to hell, now you went to hell. Now you've gone to hell and you're preaching to the eternal lost that can never be saved, that can never receive this truth. That's what he's saying. He's saying the works that I do, will you do also? And he takes it away from the healing. He takes it away from that sweet stuff. And he brings it right over into preaching to eternal lost. Amen. And he said, as he went into hell, now you're going to preach to those that are in hell. You're going to preach to those that are eternally lost. Amen. That's the message today. That's the ministry today. That's what he said. Jesus Christ in the bride, in the church, in the last days, preaching to the eternal lost. I know that's not easy. But it wasn't easy in Noah's day. And it wasn't easy in Jesus' day. And it wasn't easy in any other day. But it was still there. It wasn't easy in the dark ages when them people were being cut up and died for their testimony. Huh? Now, they stab you in the back. Now they stab you however they can. Now they kill your influence. Yes, sir. It's still murder. But they're just doing it a little different way. Right. 380. Almighty God, on this elected church, I pray, God, that you will pour out your blessings, that they might receive a ministry. Huh? Right. This is a blessing. This is an honor. That you are standing in the place of Jesus Christ in this ministry, in the ministry of Jesus Christ, to bring forth the revelation of Jesus Christ in this day. That's right. It's life to one, it's death to another. See? That they might receive a ministry of testimony that like Lot had, like Noah had, like Jesus had, unto the eternal lost. If there would be. See, that they themselves are sealed into the kingdom of God, giving witness unto Jesus Christ, being the same yesterday, today, and forever. Grant it, Lord, that you may receive our petition as we plead in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is where he's placed us. This is where he's placed us, right here in the midst of it. And we see hell. We see those people that are moaning and groaning, that are lost and will never have peace. They'll never know what it is to have that harmony, that peace in Christ. Right. We're offering them life. We're offering them eternal life. Yes. But if they don't accept it, then it's a testimony against them. Amen. And that's where it's come to today. Sure. I was preaching on the online this morning, and I use that scripture in Ephesians. I think it's in chapter 3, maybe verse 1 or something like that. And he was talking about that we are in the fellowship of the mystery. We're in the fellowship of the mystery. And that's what it's been in every age, is the elect of that day are receiving the revelation. And that's the reason why we have a group. That's the reason why we come together. That's the reason why, no matter which country you're in, when you find people that are in that this mystery has been revealed to, then they're a part. You're a part of that same fellowship. Don't matter what color they are. Don't matter rich or poor, smart or common or whatever they are. This fellowship is the kingdom of God. And this mystery is revealed by God himself. And when it's revealed to you, you have been invited. You have been caught up into a kingdom, into the presence of God. And you are now a part of this ministry. And it is a ministry. And everything about your life is a testimony of Jesus Christ manifested on the earth in this last day. You are the proof of the resurrection, because the resurrection is living in you. The seed of God that was put in you before the foundation of the world has been resurrected, and God is vindicating it. He's vindicating His life. He's vindicating His purpose. He's vindicating His promise. And He's doing it through your life every day, wherever you are. That's all you can be. That's all you can manifest. You can't go put on that worldly stuff. You can't paint that stuff on your face. You can't do those things. That Spirit in you won't let you do it. It won't let you do it. But without that Spirit in you, you might could do anything. Let us stand. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, Father, we think what an anointing was upon these people, and what a fear. And Lord, this revelation was unfolding to let them know the day and the hour that they were living in. And Lord, this revelation has grown and grown and grown. And we know it's just as serious today. Lord, but we know that redemption has been revealed. And we know that that elected seed, Lord, that was in you before the foundation of the world, she was never lost. And she can't be lost because she's you. She's manifesting you, Lord, the eternal Spirit, the Father, Lord, in veils of flesh in this last day. And when this word is spoken, if there's a seed present, it will quicken that seed. You will quicken that seed, Lord. We're just speaking it. We don't do anything but what the Father shows us, what the Father leads and guides to do. And Lord, may you just bless each one. Bless those here. Bless those that are not able. Bless Brother Gomez. He's there on the mission field preaching this same gospel, Lord, manifesting this life. And Lord, bringing life to one group and judgment to another. Lord, preaching to the eternal lost. Lord, it's not something we would ever even think of or think of doing or anyway. But Lord, it's part of the revelation. Lord, it's part of the ministry that you ordained. Lord, we have nothing to do with that. Lord, we're just vessels to fulfill your purpose and your promise. Lord, may you help us and guide us, each one, Lord, day by day, to recognize the seriousness of our life and our actions and our words. Lord, let us surrender. Every morning when we wake up, Lord, let us surrender again for another day, that you might have your way. Lord, that you might speak through us. Lord, that somebody would see the light that's living within us. Even when we're not speaking, they see it. They know it. Lord, that it's you. Lord, we commit all to you. Lord, bless those that are sick. Bless those that are not able to come. Lord, make the way. Lord, as we commit each one to you, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise be to God. And so, well, brother, you'll lead us in a song. Thank you.
I listened to that message and I finished it this week. I don't see how someone can listen to that message and not be impacted by it. God speaking to us. Let's sing All Hail King Jesus. dismiss you. Remember, as brother said, you're a ministry. What ministry are you?
Same.
Amen. You're dismissed.